convictions that you got from God, not from man. If you have convictions in your life about from man, they're not a conviction. They're a convenience for you. And the only time you have them is when those people are around you. But a heartfelt conviction is when God gives you something. And I remember as a young preacher, I'm going to say maybe 23, 24 in there. One day Rosie came home and said, now you ladies that wear slacks, don't get mad at me. But Rosie, and I didn't tell her she had to wear a dress or a skirt. You always see my wife in a dress and a skirt. God gave her a heartfelt conviction. And she came to me and said, honey, I'm going to wear dresses the rest of my life. I said, well, don't do it for me or don't do it for Pastor O'Brien. She said, no, God spoke to me. I'm doing it for God. And my wife years ago had a heart-filled conviction, and that's why you never see her run around in britches, because God gave her a heartfelt conviction. Already I've got some of you turned off on me, and I'm not wanting to get you mad, but I'm just trying to show you what a heartfelt, when you get a conviction of your own from God, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter who you're with. You're going to stick to it. If you have just a conviction for convenience or for show, when you're gone, it won't show forth. How many are still with me? And God, in Joshua 1, I'm trying to get to it. And we had a great day, didn't we? Those babies, that blessed my heart having those babies up here tonight, man. I'm going to tell you that right now. Man, it's just like God came down and hugged us. Aren't those children precious? And it just seemed like the whole day, Josh, God has squeezed us all day long here. But I'm going to preach to you about heartfelt convictions. Moses was charging Joshua to have heartfelt convictions. And look, let's stand for the reading of the Bible. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to go for the first 9 verses. Book of Joshua, chapter 1. By the way, next week we will be honoring the fathers and all the men. All the men will be with us and be getting a gift. Brother Myers, he'll be preaching at his son's church next Sunday. His son went to Alaska, and so Brother Rich will be filling in there. We're going to miss him and Chris, but he'll be filling in and over at that church there. All righty. At Bethel Baptist, I think. He'll be at Bethel. All righty. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. But he had no parents. He was the son of Nun. Okay, I'll get serious now. See, those are old man jokes. Just the old people get them. The kids say, oh, preacher, you're corny. But I'm a good cornball. Okay. The son of Nun, Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, that thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. By the way, you know what? We're more than conquerors through him. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is a victory. Even our faith, hallelujah. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards going down the sun, that's the Mediterranean, shall be your coast. There shall, look at verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Look at verse 6. Because of what he's doing in verse 5, look what he's saying in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto the people thou shalt divide the inheritance of the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, very courageous. And thou mayest observe to do all according to the law of Moses, which my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whither thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. You know, you need to hold on to that King James Bible you got. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? I love this. He comes right back again. Three times he comes up to Josh. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong. How does God want us to be? And of good courage. Be not afraid. A lot of Christians run in fear. And the man that runs in fear, the Bible teaches, in torment all the time. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whitherso thou goest. What a tremendous challenge and a charge to Joshua. Heavenly Father, I just pray with all my heart. I believe you put this in my heart to preach, and I pray I can be a blessing, Father. What a special day we've had with this special message this morning in Sunday school, and the special singing, the choir, and now the babies tonight and singing. And Lord, it just, what a great day, and to be in the house of God. And thank you for your presence. Now, Lord, help me. I want to put a thought. I want to put a truth in their heart tonight. I'm just going to keep hitting that same nail over and over. And I pray they'll get this truth that I want to give them about having a real conviction from the heart. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, may you be seated. The Lord was giving Joshua a strong charge here to have strong convictions in him and in his word. You wouldn't know what would help America today if we'd have a lot of strong Christians in the Lord that have strong conviction in the word, strong conviction in God. Today we need Christians to have strong hearts, strong heartfelt convictions for the things of God and for the word of God. If you'll notice in verse 5, God says four things there in verse 5 to him. He says, number one, in verse 5, that there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He said, Joshua, just keep going forward. You ain't worried about your enemies. I'll take care of them. Man, that's pretty cool. Because Joshua was a pretty bad stick himself, by the way. He was. He used to lead the charge all the time. But God's saying, you know, Josh, I'll do the fighting. You don't have to fight. I'll take care. I'm going to show you I'm God. You know, a lot of times we think we have to fight for God. No, we need to just work for God. He'll do the battling. Amen? And so, number one, he said, I'll be with you. I'll stand before thee all the days of your life. Number two, in verse 5, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So, I'm going to be, no one can touch you. The second thing, I will be with thee. The third thing, I will not fail thee. Verse 5. And the fourth thing, nor will I forsake thee. Wow! Four things there in that one verse that God told Joshua he's going to do for him. By the way, you say, well, that's the Old Testament preacher. God says he wouldn't forsake him and do all that. Huh. I wish we had the same promises. We do. Let me just quote you. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So don't give me the New Testament, Old Testament. By the way, it's all God's word. But the very promises that God gave Joshua, and he also gave to Moses, he gave to us too. And listen, did you know we have the same God as Joshua? I mean, I love reading in the Old Testament all the great stories. And we say, wow, I bet that was exciting for them back there. Hello? I know it's 2014, and I know this is 4,000 years ago or so. Hey, listen to me. We got the same God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can plug into the same outlet that they did. There's a power source there. Can anyone say amen? And so, verse 5, God gives him four things that he's going to do for him. Listen, on June 8th, 2014, we still have the promises of God. How many believe that? We still have the promise of God's holy word. We still have the promises that we can stand on. I like that song, Standing on the Promises of God. I like that song. You know why? Because we really can stand on the promises of God. Now listen, if you look at verse 6 and 7, he keeps going on now. He tells them four things in verse 5, what he's going to do for them. And then verse 6, he says, now, because I'm doing this for you in verse 5, look what it says. Be strong and of good courage. How many see that? Drop down to verse 7. Because I'm doing this for you in verse 5, only be thou strong and very courageous. Whoa, I like that. Man, not just courage. He said, he's up in the ante. How many are still with me? He's saying, hey, the more I think about it, you ought to be very courageous because I'm the guy that's backing you up. I never could go down the street and say, you better not mess with me. I'm going to go get my big brother. I'd have to say, you better not mess with me. I'm going to go get my dad. Well, I'm going to tell you, we got a friend that's thick as closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Amen? And he's watching over us. Be strong. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because I will be with thee. Look up here. When you're going out for the things of God, you can be strong, you can be courageous because you got an almighty God behind you if you're walking with him. He won't be with you in evil, but he will do you. If you're doing what he tells you, if you're doing what he asks you to do, he'll stand with you. Be strong and courageous because I'll be with thee. Be strong and courageous because I will not fail thee. Joshua, be strong and courageous because I will not forsake thee. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. And verse 9, he says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. You know what hinders a lot of Christianity serving God? People are afraid. You're afraid to talk to people about Christ. You're afraid to witness to your family. You're afraid to witness to the people that you work with. You're afraid to talk to your neighbors. I fear that you said I might upset them. I'm going to tell you right now, God tells us not to be fearful. Just go out there in the power of God. The reason Joshua was so successful wasn't because Joshua was successful. It was God that made him successful. Look up. Everybody got to look here. Our success doesn't stand upon us. Our success depends on God. Amen? And God was saying, hey, you can do this, Josh. I'm with you. I'm with you, man. And that's all you need is me. Joshua did. Listen, how many believe Joshua did great things for God? He did. He did read the Bible. He did it because he had heartfelt convictions. Joshua was, he stormed the palaces and the armies and anything he got to him because he had heartfelt convictions that God Almighty was with him. Joshua got his conviction. I want you to get this. Joshua got his convictions from above. Joshua got his convictions from above. He didn't get it from man. I'm so proud of David Williams, Pastor Dave. I've always told him, I said, David, don't worry about me. Just stand on your own convictions with God's word. And he does, by the way. He honors me, but he don't stand on my convictions. He has his own for God. How many are still with me? You can't live on the tail shirt of your preachers. You need convictions of yourself. You need convictions because we're not always there. And by the way, we shouldn't have to be there. You need your own personal convictions, what you believe and what you don't believe. And by the way, I don't think, Brother Coolidge, I really believe in Christianity today. I'm talking about fundamental churches. They don't have a lot of people with strong convictions in the memberships. But I think we ought to have them. Amen? This is why Joshua approached his task of leadership with such enthusiasm, because he wasn't counting on himself. He was counting on God. Listen, this is why Joshua, he spoke out boldly and said things he did was because he had a surety in his heart. Joshua was without waver. And the reason he was without waver, because his heart was set on God. And his convictions were heartfelt. He wasn't doing it because someone else told him. He believed it. Brother Donnie, I have a lot of heartfelt convictions. It's not my, because what God says. Listen, you want to be able to stand in a troublesome day? Get some heartfelt convictions from God's word. Don't turn to it. Joshua had heartfelt convictions from God Almighty. And this is why this is what the world needs to see. We need to see some heartfelt Christianity today. Not this little mamby-pamby, I hope we don't offend you. We need some real heartfelt Christians that'll stand for the cause of Christ. I'm not saying being belligerent, no. I'm not saying being rude. I'm just saying we ought to have some holy boldness for God. Don't turn. I just put down a couple examples. In Joshua 6:16, he said, remember Jericho? He said, shout! For the Lord had given you this city. Remember they marched around seven times? And then he said, shout. And he said, for the Lord's given. The reason they took Jericho, Joshua knew it wasn't him. It was God. His conviction. Man, he told those people with unwavering command, let's get them. They're ours. God's given them to us. Do you have that kind of conviction when you witness? Do you have that kind of conviction when you go places? We need that kind of conviction. Amen? In Joshua 24:15, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a lot of Christians that serve the Lord with convenience. My kids never had to worry about praying about going to church. We didn't come home Sunday afternoon and say, God, are we supposed to go to church Sunday night? My kids know they were going to church. They didn't have to pray about Wednesday. Hey, even before I was pastoring, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we were there every visitation, bus routes. It didn't matter. We were there because that's what God wanted me to do. You don't have to pray about going to church. The Bible says, forsake not to assemble yourself. Hebrews 10:25. And so there's some things that, you know, Christianity, a little wishy-washy. Are we supposed to do this? No, you just need to get a conviction that you're supposed to do it all the time. Amen? And when Moses sent the 12 spies over in Numbers 13:30, remember they came back and he sent 10 too many. Because they said, oh, there's giants, we can't take it. But what did Caleb and Joshua say? Let's go up now and take them. They wanted to go right now. You know why? They weren't going in their strength. They were going in God's strength. See, they had a heartfelt conviction. I'm not telling you to go out and charge somebody. Please don't misread. I'm just telling you the reason we fail many times, the reason we sulk back, the reason we're silent, the reason we don't do what we're supposed to do is we don't have heartfelt conviction. And that's where it's at. How many are trying to get I'm only preaching one thing tonight, heartfelt conviction. But Dr. Howell's just taking the hammer, just kept hitting the same thing. When we leave, you're going to say two words. He preached on heartfelt conviction. But Numbers 30, let us go up at once. I like that. Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we will be able to overcome. And Joshua said, amen. Sink them. Let's get them. Listen, their conviction was not a man, but their conviction was from God. The Webster Dictionary states conviction is the state of being convinced or convicted by conscience. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm convicted and convinced that this is the pure word of God. Listen, Joshua was convinced that he could trust God in his word no matter what he said. He knew he could trust him. Joshua had heavenly conviction. He had conviction that God would take care of anything he told him to do. Joshua's conviction was deep embedded in his heart. He had heartfelt conviction. I don't think our conviction runs deep enough sometimes. That's why we're wishy-washy. That's why we do some things that we shouldn't do. That's why we go places that we shouldn't go. That's why we watch things that we shouldn't watch. Hello? Because if you have deep-seated conviction, heartfelt conviction from God, your Holy Spirit's going to say, no, I'm not. Am I making sense to anybody tonight? Listen, Joshua had heartfelt conviction for God. He had heartfelt conviction about God's word. He had heartfelt conviction about God's man. Why, Moses, now he's dead here, but before that, he was behind God's man. This is God's man. I'm going to stand behind him. Listen, Joshua's convictions, you got to get this. Joshua's convictions, Joshua's heartfelt convictions motivated him into action. The reason people don't go into action many times, they don't have the conviction to do it. Joshua's heartfelt convictions motivated his actions. If you don't have a conviction, you're not going to do it. Hello? Joshua responded to the challenges of God. Many times Christians are not motivated in action because they have no convictions. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm just trying to work on our convictions. How many are still with me? Amen. We need deep convictions. I tell you why the world's going to hell. They don't see a separated Christian. We were looking at a book. Pastor Dave bought a book, Life Magazine, all about President Reagan. He was my favorite president. If I could bring him out of the grave, I'd vote him. I'd almost vote for him again with Obama. I think I'd still vote for Reagan, even today. You say he's dead. I know, but still, I'd be better with a dead Reagan than a live Obama. Oh, you shouldn't say them. Well, you shouldn't. I will. We need some Christians that have real convictions. Convictions that stand the test of fire. And Joshua responded to the challenges because he had pure heart convictions. Listen, there's two kinds of convictions. There's man's convictions, where you do something when you're in front of man to please him, or you do it because you want to impress some certain people. But inwardly, you don't really have that conviction. You just do it for man. And then there's a heavenly, heartfelt conviction, which God gives, which comes from God. And when applied, no matter what the circumstance, you stand on the conviction. See, the Bible says, let God be true, and every man a right. And Bobby, that's the kind of conviction we need to have. Not just preachers. Not just deacons. Not just the ushers. Every person that's a born-again Christian ought to let God be true and every man a liar. Notice, I got convictions. I got heartfelt convictions over God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I don't believe any of that evolution junk. I know I got here by Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's how we got here, God. That's all. I got heartfelt conviction over God's word. It's pure. It's holy. Psalms 12:6 says it's going to last forever. Let me read that Psalms. I'm going to read it to you. Psalms 12. Many of you can quote it. I can quote it, but I want you to see it. Psalms 12, right in front of Proverbs. Psalms 12. Verse 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. How many believe that? See, if someone tells me there's an error in this Bible, I got heartfelt conviction. No, there's not. I tell them, you're a liar. You're a liar, you're an idiot, or both. Someone, you've listened to some idiot on the radio or TV that's a moron, and you're acting like them. Wow, that preacher's ready to fire. Hey, Billy was supposed to preach tonight, not me. So get mad at Billy. He's not feeling good. Pray for little Billy. He really isn't feeling good. And the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Purified how many times? Seven is God's perfect number. Seven is God's perfect number. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation for how long? I don't need a new Bible. I got one. I got the one God gave me. Why would I need a new Bible when I got a perfect Bible from God? How are you going to improve on God? Get your new Bible. No, I'm going to stay with the old one. That's the one God gave me. So I got I got heartfelt conviction about God and about the Word of God. I got heartfelt conviction about hell. I preached on hell, I think, a week ago or so, about how hell's real. And I showed you from Luke chapter 16 how that rich man cried out. He's still crying out about hell. I showed you Matthew 25 and verse 41, 45, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it never ends. It goes on and on forever. And this, the Bible says in Revelation, I think it's 14, 11, 14, 11, and the smoke of their torment will forever and ever. 20:15 of Revelation, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm going to tell you, I've got real conviction about hell. There is a hell. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. There's a hell. And by the way, if your family or friends are not saved and you don't witness to them, you got blood on your hands. And some, like, I'm not preaching over, but you ought not wait till they get on their deathbed to try to really go gung-ho and witness to them. I can't imagine if I'd have prayed earnestly for my dad like I did that while he was, when he had the stroke, and then when I, all those, if I would have prayed earnestly when he was alive doing well, he would have been saved right away. How can we wait till it's too late? Why in here tonight? We need to get convictions. We need to get convictions about God's Word, about reading it, about studying it, about living in it, about living for it. We should show our convictions when we witness to the people, because there really is a hell. Conviction is not convenience. Conviction is not convenience. I'm on my last page. Conviction is not convenience. Those who only display a conviction to please someone when they're being watched, that is not a conviction. That's a lie. That is using a conviction for a convenience. We talk about, I know preachers, we call them chameleons. You know what a chameleon is? He turns colors. Wherever he is, wherever that chameleon, he blends in where he's at. So if he's with the BBF, if he's with the Baptist Bible fellows that believe the old Bible, he's a Baptist Bible believer. If he's with the Scott bums and everything else, then he thinks there's heirs. Hello, how many still with me? Preacher, you ought not name names. If I was you, I wouldn't either. But I'm going to name them. Listen, we need conviction that calls for us to stand for right, even if it means confrontation. Stand alone. And listen, sometimes we're afraid to stand alone. Don't turn to them. I'm just going to give you two illustrations from the book of Daniel. Remember, and they're real. The three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many are with me? They had heartfelt conviction because they would not bow down to the golden image. Remember that story? They wouldn't bow down to that golden image. You know what? You know why? You know why you shouldn't bow down before the golden image? Because God says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. That's why we ought not bow down to the golden image. How many are still with me? You know the story. They stood their ground and God got them through it. You know what? Because they had heartfelt convictions. Daniel, you remember in Daniel 3:25 to around verse 20, Jesus was, remember, the king says, did we not throw three? And now I see four and one's the Son of God? Amen. Wow! I love it when God comes down in our life. You know why we don't see God coming down in our life a lot of times? Because we don't show God he needs to come down. We never stand with grit. We never stand with faith. We never stand with surety and say, let God be true to man. I don't care what the world says. I'm going to stand for God. And when you stand for God, you watch. He'll stand for you. They thought they were standing for God, but he came down in the fire with them. He took care of the fire. I'm glad he saved us from the hellfire too, by the way. Daniel had heartfelt convictions about prayer. Mike likes to pray. Dan used to pray every day, open up his windows and pray. They said you couldn't pray. You know the story. Because he prayed, he got thrown in the lion's den. Boy, that king, he loved Daniel too, and he didn't want, but I remember the scripture teaches how he came earlier in that morning and said, Daniel, you still there? Live forever, king. My God shut the mouths of those lions. He gave him lockjaw. Look up here. You know why a lot of people keep flapping at us? Because we never take a stand for God. I think God could give a lot of our enemies lockjaw if we would take a stand for him once in a while. I'll give you, for instance, just years ago. Years ago, I worked at Allied Chemical in a factory. This one guy always used to use God's name in vain. And boy, man, it got me. It got me mad. One day, I just said, that's it. We were in the lunchroom. There was about 50 guys in there in lunch. And he went, GD, this. And I said, that's it. Bow your head. I'm praying. He said, what? I said, I'm praying for you right now. You ask God to damn you? I'm asking God to damn you right now. And I actually started praying. You think I'm nuts? And I did. I said, God, this man wants you to be, he wants you to damn him. He's always saying, God damn. Lord, I pray that you'll damn him right now. That guy, and I just kept praying, Josh. I'm not kidding you. That guy, he got up, he was shaking me. Stop. I said, you don't want God to damn me? He said, no. He never said that word again in front of me. Yes, sir. Sometimes it takes that kind of, I don't say you have to do that. But I'm just saying sometimes it takes people to say, no, I'm not taking it. God's name is not a curse name. Not a curse word. He's not a cuss word to me. How many can say amen? We just need to have some heavenly conviction and heartfelt convictions and deep-seated convictions. You know, listen, sometimes heartfelt convictions creates confrontation. I don't want to have confrontation. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to keep my heartfelt convictions. I'm not going to start anything, but I'm not going to back down. Does that make sense? I'm going to stand on what the Bible I believe. Listen, by the way, when you have heartfelt conviction, it does create confrontation, but you know what also it creates? Character. There's a lot of characters out there, but they need to have character from God. Before I got saved, I was a character. And those guys will tell you I was a character. Not proud of it. You know, I used to get excited. Brother Ray, I was such a character before I got saved. That after I got saved, I went back to work at Allied Chemical. Some of the men and the women, they actually came to my church and heard me preach because they couldn't believe the transformation on my life. I used to have a cuss word out of every my tongue, almost every word. After that, I had all praise. Can anyone say amen? And they saw. They said, what happened to this maniac of Gargantia? They said, I was a maniac. And God took me and brought me out of the tombs. He really did. I'm so glad I got saved. And the men that I ran with, several of them got saved. Several of them came to our church. One became an usher, old Cleo Clark. He was like 65 years old. He cleaned out bars with my, he was phenomenal, man. He was a tough guy. He couldn't talk real good. When he got mad, he started, you better, I'm going to punch you. He was as strong as an ox. Nobody messed with him. They had any brains. I remember that big old guy coming down crying and getting saved and leading them to Christ. I remember baptizing. He was a big guy, probably close to 300 pounds. I remember seeing a lot of those guys, man. I'm going to tell you right now, you stand true for God, God will stand true for you. I'm getting ready to close here. But you'll get, when you start standing with conviction, it has to be heart, look up, if you don't have heartfelt conviction, you're not going to stand. That's what, Christians, what we need is heartfelt convictions. And how, you know how you get those convictions? You read the Bible. You seek God's face. You go hear preaching. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You get closer to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. You draw close to God. He'll give you some convictions. Do you have heartfelt convictions? I'm going to close right now. Do you have heartfelt convictions? We need to know. I'm all done. We need to know. We need to know what we believe. And believe what we know. You need to know why you believe that. How many believe in eternal security? You ought to know why. Yeah. How many believe that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging? Proverbs 20, verse 1. Whosoever takes is deceived thereby. How many believe that? That's in Proverbs. Years ago, when I first moved here, I went to visit a guy who was supposed to be a member of this church years ago. He lived across the street in those apartments. He had a whole big, huge, brand new bottle of whiskey. Man, I got preaching to him. And I said, oh, yes. He said, yeah, I'm saved. I'm a member. I'm faithful. Used to be. I said, well, what do you got all? I started taking alcohol. His ear took it. I started draining beer down his things. Then I saw this big thing of whiskey. He didn't say nothing on the beer. But boy, when I started pouring that whiskey down the drain, he said, hey, do you know how much that cost? I said, do you know how much it cost your life and others around you? He started drinking. He said, pour it all down. I'm going to tell you, I used to drink every day of my life. I used to keep a case of beer in the trunk of my car. Don't tell me about drinking. It's evil. It's a destroyer. You young people, the sound of my voice, don't you ever drink alcohol. You don't have to test the waters. I'm telling you right now, those waters are bad. They're bitter. They're a bad place for you to be. I'm glad some of my kids have never drank alcohol. I'm so glad. Some of you kids growing up, you'll say, I'm never gonna let, see, that's a devil's brew. I still drink. I just change fountains. Now I drink iced tea, water, amen, McDonald's, iced tea. How many are with me yet? I couldn't drink it. Miss Mert, it's probably been 40 years at least since I've taken a drop of alcohol. I think I would puke. I couldn't even stand the smell of it, let alone drink it. I'll share this with you and I'll have to close. About 25 years ago or so, I got sick with the flu. And I never take, like, if the dose says take one pill, I take two or three. If it says take one cup of syrup, I take three or four. Because if one's good for you, I figure more's better for you. That only makes sense to me. So I'm sick with the flu and I got dizzy and I took about four of them NyQuil's. And I told, she said, what is wrong? I said, Rosie, I feel like I'm drunk. My head's swirling. I said, something's not right. We went, did you know, and this was years ago when I was living in Cleveland. It had 20, did you know NyQuil used to have 25% alcohol in it? I got drunk on NyQuil. It's the last trip I took. I don't take NyQuil no more. I'm serious. Check it out. There's the reason you get that kick, there's alcohol in that. That's, you wonder why all the Christians, oh, I don't drink. I just buy NyQuil. They say, man, preacher, all your people drink. Man, they all take, you must have a flu epidemic over there. Everyone's taking out, they're taking, buying it by the case. You better not go and buy it now. I pray you'll choke on it. I'm talking to you about heartfelt convictions tonight. Would your convictions be great enough? Would your convictions be great enough that you'd be willing to go into a lion's den? Would your convictions be great enough that you'd be willing to go into a fiery furnace? Would your convictions be enough that you would even be able to stand, you would, even in a crowd where there's nobody agreed with you, that you would stand for the Word of God and for Christ. We need some heartfelt convictions with people today. We've got enough chameleon Christians. They just blend in. I'm not saying to go out and cause trouble. No, don't misread me. I'm just saying there's always a time that we could stand. I'm not saying go out and try to pick fights. I'm telling you, I'm a Bible, Bobby. I'm a Bible thumper, Bobby. Let's go out and pick a fight with those guys over the Scriptures. God's not in that. But I'm talking about when you have to really take it, when you're tested to take the stand or not to stand. Will you have convictions to stand? Joshua did. Joshua had heartfelt convictions that he got from God. And if you want to become a great Christian, you're not going to get your conviction from one of our preachers here. You got to get it from God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Holy Spirit, help us to have heartfelt convictions so we don't let the world trample over us. The Bible says we're supposed to be light in a dark world. And Lord, those convictions help us light up for you. We help light a dark world with those convictions, godly convictions, convictions that are from high. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless tonight. Lord, be with each one of these families here. Holy Spirit, there might be something in their lives tonight that while I was preaching, that you spoke to them about. Maybe there's some kind of conviction that they haven't had. Maybe you worked in their heart today about it. I pray you'll help them to have deep convictions, heartfelt convictions, convictions that come from above, from heaven, from God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I saw myself a lost sinner, and I knew one day I was going to die and go to hell, and I asked Christ to save me. By a lift of hand, you say, I know for sure I'm saved, and I'd go to heaven if I die. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I'm positive I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. I preached on heartfelt convictions. That means looking at that computer was evil, TV, and or doing something, or drinking something, or going some places that you ought not go. No one's looking. And I'm not going to come to you, but I'd like to pray. How many say, Pastor, while you preached, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me. I need a stronger conviction about a particular thing in my life. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, ma'am, I see that. God bless you. Preacher, I need a stronger conviction on something that's in my life. I need to have a more stronger conviction for God. Lord, I pray with all my heart. You saw every hand, and moreover, you saw every heart. Moreover, even before they came here, you saw their lives. And you see mine, and you see all theirs. You see them continually. Help us. Lord, there was on both sides of the pews, there was people raising their hand. There was something in their life they needed more conviction about. Father, I pray with all my heart. Holy Spirit of God, before they leave tonight, burden their heart for that strong conviction. Help them to say, no, I'm not going to let sin destroy my life. I'm going to give that conviction to God. No matter what people think, no matter what people say, I'm going to stand for righteousness. Help us, Father. In the day that we're living in a dark world that needs to see the light of Christ, oh God, help us have true convictions, holy convictions, heartfelt convictions, convictions from heaven. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, John? 890. You want to come for any reason, you come right now.